new surprises at every turn. As time passed, and I grew more accustomed to the heavenly life about me, I found its loveliness unfolded to me like the slow opening of a rare flower. Delightful surprises met me at every turn. Now, a dear friend, from whom I had parted years ago in the earth life, would come unexpectedly upon me with a cordial greeting. Now one, perhaps on earth greatly admired, but from whom I held aloof for fear of unwelcome intrusion, would approach me, showing the lovely soul so full of kindness and congenial thought that I would feel a pang of regret for what I had lost. Then the clear revelation of some truth, only partly understood in life, though eagerly sought for, would stand out clear and strong before me, overwhelming me with its luster, and perhaps showing the close tie linking the earth life with the divine. But the most wonderful to me was the occasional meeting with someone whom I had hoped to meet over there, who, with eager hand clasps and tearful eyes, would pour forth his earnest thanks for some helpful word, some solemn warning, or even some stern rebuke that turned him, all unknown to myself, from the paths of sin to life everlasting. Oh, the joy to me of such revelation! Oh, the regret that my earth life had not been more full of such work for eternity! For a time each day, I listened to the entrancing revelations and instructions of my brother. One day, as I was on my way to the river, my voice joined to the wonderful anthem of praise everywhere sounding. I saw a lovely girl approaching me, swiftly with outstretched arms. "Dear Aunt Rebecca," she called as she drew near, "do you not know me?" Meeting my niece. "My little May," I cried, gathering the dainty creature into my arms. "Where did you spring from so suddenly, dear? Let me look at you again," holding her at arm's length, only to draw her again tenderly to me. "You have grown very beautiful, my child. I may say this to you without fear, I am sure. You were always lovely. You are simply radiant now. Is it this divine life?" "Yes," she said modestly and sweetly, "but most of all, being near our Savior so much." "Oh, yes, that's it, being near Him. That will make any being radiant and beautiful," I said. "He is so good to me, so generous, so tender. He seems to forget how little I have done to deserve His care." "He knows you love Him, dear heart. That means everything to Him." "Love Him? Oh, if loving Him deserves reward, I am sure I ought to have every wish of my heart, for I love Him a thousandfold better than anything on heaven or earth. I would die for Him." The sweet face grew surpassingly radiant and beautiful as she talked. I began to dimly understand the wonderful power of Christ among the redeemed in heaven. The dear child, so lovely in all mortal graces, so full of earth's keenest enjoyments during the whole of her brief life, pure and good as we count goodness below, yet seemingly too absorbed in life's gaieties to think deeply of things she yet in her heart revered and honored, now in this blessed life counted the privilege of loving Christ, of being near Him beyond every other joy. And now how that love refined and purified the giver. In our conversation she turned to me and asked quickly, "When is my Uncle Will coming?" My hand closed tightly over hers, and a sob almost arose in my throat, though I answered calmly, "That is in God's hands alone. We may not question." "Yes, I know His will is always right, but I so long to see my dear Uncle Will again.